is a team building and leadership development company that has the privilege of working with more than 160 collegiate and professional athletic teams and corporations throughout North America annually. Welcome to our On the Attack podcast, where our most senior program leadership instructors draw from years of experience working with hundreds of clients and briefly share their powerful insights and thoughts on relevant team building and leadership development challenges. Today, Mac, me, and my teammate Cole Walter, we're going to discuss some of the issues that I've seen, mainly knowing and embracing your role and complacency issues that I've seen, right, being on some sidelines pretty recently. So, Cole, fired up for the chance to spend a couple minutes talking with you today. Cole, you want to introduce yourself real quickly?
Sure. Hey, thanks, Matt. Hey, my name is Cole Walter. I served in the Marine Corps for 23 years. I retired at the rank of First Sergeant. Been on multiple combat deployments, two to Afghanistan with Marine Special Operations. I'm a military skydiver and jump master, a black belt martial arts instructor. I teach firearms as well on the side. I've been a proud teammate with the program for 5 years. So I'm fired up to be here too, Matt.
Awesome. Thanks, Cole. So, you know, Cole, kind of what I'd like to talk about today first, you know, having been on multiple sidelines, right, various sports recently, right, I want to talk briefly about kind of the roles that we all fill. Now, first of all, you know, as we've talked about quite a bit, we believe any team that we're on, we fill two main roles, that of teammate or that of leader, right? And it's important to recognize that we're all on multiple teams. We're on our family teams, we're on our faith teams, our community teams, but mainly what we talk about in this podcast is our athletic teams, right, that we're on, right? So yeah, the two main roles, those are leader and teammate. However, there are multiple roles that we fill on any given team, right? A lot of those are going to be sport specific, right, based on what battlefield we're actually on. Now, one of the ways I look at it from my military experience, Cole, and I'm sure you can relate to this, typically on any mission that we would do overseas or any training mission that we would do in the States, right, we're really broken down. If you've got a main effort and you have supporting efforts, typically the main effort, right, this is the one they're doing the thing, right? So if it's a raid, let's say your main effort is the actual Marines or, you know, soldiers who are going into the building and actually kicking down doors, doing the actual raid itself, right? You've also got supporting efforts. Supporting efforts could also be maybe you're a supporting effort that's at a blocking position to make sure reinforcements don't come and mess things up. The scout snipers are always in a supporting effort, right? They're up providing coverage there. But you've also got all your other supporting elements, logistics and communication and all those things. Now, when we kind of relate this to athletics, and the way we can look at it is everyone wants to be the main effort. And I've been both, right? Both in training and real world overseas. I've been the main effort before, but there's plenty of times where I was the supporting effort too. And the thing is, everyone wants to be the main effort. Main effort gets all the publicity, right? They're the Marines going down, kicking doors, pulling triggers. But if the supporting efforts don't do their job, if the supporting efforts, right, aren't on point, we are not going to accomplish our mission. And in our world, that could lead to the main effort, right, being killed, right? Those Marines that are on the X. So if we don't have logistics, if we don't have transportation, if our communication goes down, if we don't have our intelligence, if we don't have our support by fire positions and our blocking positions, if everyone doesn't embrace their role, we're not going to accomplish the mission, right? We're going to fail, right? Everyone's equally important. And I look at that in athletics too. Everyone's got a role. Now we talk about team leader, teammate, but more specifically, sometimes what your role is going to be, you're a starter. And Cole, to be honest, if I'm an athlete or if I'm in the military, and I have somebody that doesn't want to be a starter, that doesn't want to be the main effort, I don't think I want them on my team. Yeah, we've got to compete all the time in everything we do. Sure, everyone should want to be a starter and they should work as hard as they possibly can, right, in order to be able to fill that role. But too many times that we see in the athletics, and Cole, maybe you can talk about if you've seen this in the military in your experience, is that when roles eventually do get assigned, now, we'll talk about, I think, coaches in large can do a better job of assigning these roles, be more specific. But a lot of times when that starting lineup comes out, you've got athletes or teammates who, well, they don't like the role. They wanted to be a starter, but now they're not. We see too many athletes. They just shut it down. And when we talk about having a main effort and supporting effort. Sure, everyone wants to be the main effort, but we look at athletics. Sure, we can have a great main effort. We can have a great main effort. We can have a great five starters on the basketball team. But man, if we don't have a great scout team Monday through Thursday, if we don't have a great bench given energy and taking mental reps, right? Or we don't have a great support staff and training staff and coaching staff and all those other supporting elements, that team is not going to accomplish their mission. Cole, is that something that you ever saw in the military when maybe people wouldn't be happy with the roles or you know, maybe in, I'm sure in units they were in, people did embrace those roles and attack them, even though they weren't the ones that they wanted. Is that something that you saw, Cole?
Yeah, and I think some of the best guys that we saw or that I served with, they embraced their roles no matter what. So they didn't, you know, of course, everybody wanted to be the main effort. But I think from the very start of our training, we understand that the supporting role is equally important. We need the logistics. We need every part of the operation to be successful and to embrace it 100% in order to do that. So our best guys, yeah, they embraced it no matter what, whether they were happy or they weren't, because they kind of knew that already. And, you know, the thing is, fortunate for me and probably you as well, is we had leaders that ensure that we knew what our role was, not what our role, what we wanted that role to be.
Yeah. And Cole, I would say in athletics, you know, a lot of times I think coaches are great at assigning specific sports specific roles and the starters. You've got your point guards, right? You've got your forwards and everything else, right? You've got your offensive line and quarterbacks. Yeah, coaches are great at doing that. And then you've got individual coaches that'll coach up positions, but there's a ton of roles in any team. And here's something that's not a role: spectator. That's my role when I go to games. That's the crowd, the people that paid to go to the games and yell nonsense to the refs. That's their role, right? They're there to have fun. They're there to watch the game. I see too many people on the sideline that are just spectators. They're just watching the game, just like the people up in the stands. And sometimes they're laughing and joking, and maybe they're talking about what their weekend ahead is going to be, right? Their role is that of spectators. In my mind, that's not a role. If you're wearing a uniform, right, there are other roles that you could fulfill, right, to help our team accomplish the mission. One of the things, and Cole, we talked about this briefly before the call, but one of the things that we think coaches could do is do a better job of assigning those roles other than just, let's say, in a football team, you're 11 starters. Coaches, we think, already do a great job of that. But there are the other roles, the scout team, the energy in the bench, all those things. Is that something, Cole, you want to speak on that like we talked about earlier?
Yeah, I think it's expectations. You know, what are we expecting out of our student athletes that are filling a role that they don't like or that they're going to be on the sidelines? There's use in everything that we do. If we're going to have our guys sitting on the sidelines, man, we've got to use them and we've got to let them know what they can and can't do to help the team out. If we're going to be selfish or our student athletes are going to be selfish, it's not going to help them improve. It's not going to help our team improve. So I think, you know, you can take a guy that maybe it's a football team and he's a cornerback. If he's watching the corners that are on his team, instead of him being selfish and planning for the weekend, he's looking at the intricacies, the things that are happening on the field that maybe his teammate on the field playing, the starter, maybe he misses some of that and that he can see something because he's looking at a bigger picture. And then he's got to communicate that information to him when he comes off the field. That, for one, is going to make the team better, but also it's going to make himself better. Instead of having a conversation on the sideline, he's getting more reps just by watching. So that's my opinion on it.
Yeah, so a lot of times you'll see, you know, like I said, I've been on a lot of sidelines recently. I'm going to a game tomorrow night, football game, actually. And a lot of times we'll see coaches have to be laser focused on the actions in the field, right? And they do. Of course they do, right? However, that a lot of time that leaves a gap. Nobody's focusing on all those other roles a lot of times that we'll see on the sidelines. So we get the team allowed. Maybe it's not their fault. Be a lot of teams that just a lot of athletes that will fall into that spectator role. They'll allow the people to get complacent. They'll allow a kind of low energy to creep in, right? You've got people not taking mental reps like you talked about, Cole. One of the things that we think that coaches can do a much better job of is, one, explaining to people exactly what their role is. Well, maybe we need them. We need our backup quarterback to be laser focused on the sideline taking mental reps because he might have to go in at any moment. But also, maybe we need our people who are further down in the depth chart or whatever the case may be. Well, we need them. We tell them exactly what we need them to do. We need them to be high energy, right, on the bench or on the sidelines, right? We need them to make sure they're sharing energy with both the guys on and off the field the entire time, making sure that complacency doesn't creep in. One of the things that we recommend, and, you know, we've talked about the method of task condition standard in earlier podcasts, but assign somebody to that. Maybe you've got an athlete who fits your culture, but just doesn't have the talent to be one of your 11 or 5 or whatever the case may be starters, right? Maybe we take that athlete, we put them in charge of the bench. We tell them, well, it's their responsibility to make sure that that sideline stays hyped the entire time, to make sure that we're not get complacent, right? It shouldn't just be one athlete. So maybe you've got multiple athletes that you assign roles during that game other than just the 11 starters in the field. But maybe you've also got athletes filling their roles on the sideline and you explain to them exactly what you need them to do. Now, Cole, I think one of the other things that I think is really that I've seen kill teams a lot of the times during games and during practice as well, right? When we talk about complacency, right? And there's a phrase that we see a lot in the military, we see a lot in the corporate world and law enforcement as well, right? Complacency kills. And, you know, we've worked with a lot of corporations where, you know, one of the main reasons when they have safety instances is because complacency. Now, we spoke in an earlier podcast about how we build mental toughness, how we build toughness in general, right? We believe, well, actually not we believe, we know that people typically make mental mistakes 3 times. Right. The first time they make mental mistakes is when people get tired, right? When people get fatigued. Well, the answer to that is, regardless of what your battlefield is, just get as physically tough as you can. Not only will you be faster, stronger, right? All more conditioned, all those things. You are less likely to make mental mistakes deep in a game if you just have that reservoir of conditioning of strength to draw upon, right? So get as tough as you can. Second, people make mental mistakes when they get under pressure, right? When they get nervous, when they get stressed out. The answer there is, well, just train under pressure, right? The pressure you shouldn't feel shouldn't only be on Saturdays. That's why we need, going back to roles, that's why we need a great scout team, right? That's why the toughest competition we face should be on a Tuesday afternoon practice, right? Because at the time when we're playing our opponents on the field, when we're attacking on the field on a Saturday, at that point, that's just, we're just letting it loose. We're just having fun, right? We're falling back in the habits that we've created doing that hard work, right? Every other day of the week, right? With that scout team, right? Smashing up against their starters, pressuring them, getting them used to that high pressure situation. Then, but the third time people make mental mistakes is when they get complacent, right? We see that all the time when teams go up by 2 touchdowns and they start getting complacent. They just let off the gas. Now, first of all, you know, and I've talked to a lot of teams about allowing that complacency to creep in. Complacency is part of the human condition. Now, Cole, I don't know what it was like for you overseas, but I can say for an absolute fact that, well, my Marines, there are times when they got complacent, and these are the toughest men and women in the world, right? Navy SEALs get complacent, Marines get complacent, Green Berets get complacent. It's part of the human condition. When things go well, naturally our brain, right, just starts slowing down, starts taking it easy. It's our natural, you know, it's natural inclination. That's why we need leaders to not let that happen. Personally, that's for me personally, that's when I was the most, maybe nervous isn't the right word, but that's when I knew I had to be the most dialed in when we'd gone a couple weeks without getting shot at. Because one, I knew it was coming, but I also knew that, yeah, my Marines, if I didn't stay on them, they would start getting complacent. And they were great Marines. They were tough. They were focused. But when things had gone well for a while, right, people would start to get complacent. Is that pretty consistent with what you saw when you were overseas, Cole?
It is. And I'll tell you, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you, and I'll tell this story to some of our student athletes during our training, but not just complacency, but it comes down to accountability. Even if our student athletes are on the sideline, when I go back to embracing our role, we've got to have other student athletes that are holding each other accountable on the sidelines to make sure they're not having those conversations. But as far as complacency, yeah, unfortunately, I've got some experience in that myself. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but there was a point where we were conducting some parachute training in Camp Pendleton. So it wasn't combat, but it was parachute training. And it was free fall parachuting. So it's similar to skydiving. Part of the pre-jump training we have is we check logbooks, right? So everybody has a logbook telling when their last jump is, how many jumps they've had, the kind of jump they've had. And I fell short. I fell short several days, probably months or years, because I failed to check logbooks. It was just a habit that I had gotten into, and I'd gotten complacent. And it bit me one day when we had a couple Marines that made the decision to put on a parachute on their back that weren't qualified to jump that parachute. And it, at the end of the day, it ended up being that they got kicked out of the Marine Corps. I could have gotten in pretty big trouble. I should have, but luckily I didn't. There was a big investigation conducted, and it all comes down to, again, accountability. The people on their team, those Marines team, they knew that they weren't qualified to jump it. They didn't have the guts to pull them aside and hold them accountable to it. And then, so that's complacency right there on my part, but it's accountability on their teammates' part. It affected several people's lives that day. Now, nobody died, but that's not what matters. It's not the outcome that matters, right? It's that we're holding people accountable, we're meeting the standards, no matter what the outcome is. So, yes, with complacency, I've seen it, I've experienced it. We just got to get our teammates a little bit tightened up. Maybe student athletes got to tighten it up and hold each other more accountable.
Sure, and Cole, I'll tell you why another reason why complacency is so dangerous. So we also know they're right there at the minute, right? So we're more prone to make mental mistakes when people get complacent, right? No doubt. However, and Cole, I know you're well familiar with this being a firearms instructor, right, yourself on the civilian side. But one of the things that we talk about in the military, right, we talk about something called Cooper's Color Code. It's just basically the levels of pretty much threat response engagement, all that stuff. So imagine it's like a speedometer, right? So it starts off, right? Your first color would be in the military, anyways. Our first color would be white. White is unaware. White is complacence, right? So Cole, I'll be out, right? I'm in the white right now, right? I'm not really scanning or anything. I'm not worried, right? We're pretty unengaged right now. Next threat, next level, right? Speedometer goes up to the next color is going to be yellow. Yellows, well, there's not a specific threat out there necessarily, but we're ready to go, right? We're warmed up, we're ready to attack, right? We're scanning our sectors, we're aware, right? All those things. Next color is going to be orange. Well, orange, well, now there is a threat out there. Hasn't think happened anything yet, but maybe our interest is a little bit up. So maybe we're on patrol overseas. We're already been in the yellow, right? We're ready to go. We're aware of our surroundings. Well, and then we see some guys up in a corner, right? Looking like they're up to no good, right? So maybe at that point, now we're moving into orange. Then the next color is going to be red. Red, now we're in the fight. Now, right now we're in a firefight. We're shooting in the streets. Right. But there's another color, right? That speedometer eventually it can go to black. Black is when everything just shuts down. Black is when people panic, right? When everything just falls apart. I've seen people in combat just pretty much not even able to move, right? Because they were in the black, right? At that point, our brain just pretty much shuts down. Now, if we look at that from an athletic standpoint, right? So maybe when we talk about our levels of arousal, right? So white, frankly, white is how most people in America live their lives, right? And Cole, I'm pretty amazed that there aren't more pedestrian accidents on college campuses than there are, because I can't tell you how many times I've just had somebody's, I'll be driving around the college campus and I'll have a student just step out looking with their earbuds in, listening to music, looking down at their phone, stepping into the middle of the road, completely unaware that there might be traffic coming or anything else, right? But for an athlete, so white would just be just complacent, just unaware, like not focused on the game, not mission focused. Well, so yellow, maybe that's the week, during practice. That's the week leading up to it. Like you're ready to go, like you're aware, you're warmed up, you're ready to fight, right? So orange, right? So orange, maybe that's pregame, right? So orange, right? You've got that threat in the horizon. You're getting yourself ready to go, getting yourself fired up. Now red, you're in the game. Right, you're fighting, you're getting it done, right? And then black is when things just fall apart, and unfortunately, we see that too, right? Now, one of the things that I find that's really interesting, right? And I've saw this in combat a couple times, and Cole, you probably did as well. And I think I've seen this in athletics too, is that one of the dangers about being in the white, particularly when people are unaware, when they're complacent, is that if you're in the white and something goes down, something pops off, all of a sudden you go straight to the black. You pretty much bypass all those other colors. That's frankly, that's the reason why a lot of times when people are complacent, when they're not ready, and then there's, you know, emergency, something happens, you've got a lot of people, they just can't respond, right? It's not that they're not even consciously choosing to be afraid. Their bodies, they freeze. They can't move. They can't respond, right? They're in the black. They're just freaking out, right? We see that in athletics all the time too. When you get teams, white is, that's complacent. When you get teams that are complacent, when they're not focused, and then something happens, right? The other team, they make a big play, special teams, they go on a run in basketball, you know, hit a couple, you know, bank shots, bank 3-point shots, and all of a sudden get back in the game. That team that's complacent, all of a sudden, yeah, they try and recapture what they had, but they go right into the black. Now, all of a sudden, they're panicking. They're freaking out. People are taking ill-advised shots or making bad passes or making simple mistakes because they just can't focus, right? They can't recapture what they've had. So when we're in the yellow, when we're focused, we're alert, we're responsive, we're ready to roll, right? Athletes who are on the sidelines, who are not complacent, right? Who are just ready to attack. Yeah, that other team recovers a fumble, there's a turnover, right? The other team goes in a run, something like that. Those athletes that are ready to respond, sure, they're ready to roll. Yeah, they just tie their cleats a little bit tighter, right? And just get rid of the whooping on. But those athletes who are in the white, yeah, they pretty much go into panic mode. Is that something that you've seen either in athletics or in combat or, you know, overseas or in training, Cole?
Yeah, if I relate it to athletics, here's the way I think about it. I mean, you can be complacent as a team, you know, if there's a lull in the fight or you're doing well. But individually as well, I mean, imagine a quarterback, second string quarterback, and he's having a conversation on the sidelines, chilling out, thinking about the weekend. First string goes down, but he just went from condition white straight to black. Like, oh crap. Now I'm on the field, haven't been paying attention to what's been going on the last 10 minutes or 5 minutes. A lot of things can happen in that time, right? So if he was, I would say, condition yellow or condition orange, if he's paying attention to what's going on, sees that quarterback go down. Now he might not be 100% ready, but he's way more ready than if he was in white, and now he's in shock. And it hits them. Same thing on the team level, though. You know, we get a lull in the action where we get complacent because we're ahead by 4 touchdowns or whatnot. And now we get 2 quick scores, sudden change happens, and now it's getting tight. Well, we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, Cole, I can think about, you know, some of my overseas experiences. During my second deployment, I was in a place called On the Jaff, Iraq. And for probably a good month, maybe 6 weeks, we'd get shot at. I mean, we patrolled twice a day. We'd get shot at every patrol, right? And a lot of times they would turn into pretty serious firefights. So we were always in the yellow. And frankly, I wasn't really concerned about my Marines' mindset during that time because they knew, just like I did, like, all right, we're going outside the wire. Let's go, boys. We're getting in a fight, right? We knew that was coming. Then after a couple months, right, we moved up to a place called Karbala, which was probably, I don't know, 50 miles to the north or something like that. And then Karbala at the time was relatively quiet, right? So we were still conducting, you know, daily or twice daily patrols, right? A lot of times we'd work nights. So a lot of times we'd go out when it was dark. And, but frankly, right, I mean, once in a while we get shot at, but it really wasn't that big a deal. And even though we just got done with a major battle, you know, a month before, you know, we'd been in a lot of firefights, we allowed ourselves to get complacent. I personally, even though I didn't know it at the time, I allowed myself to kind of get complacent. And one night, and nothing bad happened, but so one night, right, we're on patrol, and it's dark, and I wasn't messing around or anything, but, you know, maybe I wasn't scanning my sectors as intently. I kind of allowed myself my threat response to kind of come down to a lower level. And all of a sudden, it was the middle of the night, it was dark, we just got lit up by AK-47 fire. And I'll be honest, I went pretty close to the black, right? Because all of a sudden I went from just being cool to all of a sudden my pulse shot up to about 200 beats a minute. I was panting and all that stuff. My adrenaline dump was just crazy. And at that moment, right? So we kept driving, right? We were ready to go respond to the fight. Now, what actually happened was at the time of Karbala, they were, this was right before the democratic elections that they had. And so they had hired like locals to guard like the voting stations. And one of the locals, it was like an 80-year-old man. And he heard us coming, so he just lit us up with his weapon, which I don't know why he thought the bad guys were in armored vehicles. Like, we never figured that out. But bottom line, we didn't shoot back. Like, hey, we talked to him. Everything was fine. But had it not been fine, had that been the coordinated assaults, ambushed, I don't know how well I would have done, Cole, right? Because at that moment, I wasn't panicking. I wasn't freaking out in the radio or anything. But, man, my heart was hammering in my chest. My hands were shaking because I don't know if I was quite in the black, but, man, I was close. Because I allowed myself to get complacent. And again, we see that in the field all the time where a team goes up by a couple touchdowns and they allow themselves to get complacent. The leadership gets complacent. Now, a lot of times, again, the coaches are laser focused and they have to be on what's going on in the field. They might not see behind them that all of a sudden the bench has become complacent, that people are getting ready to party, right? The people are talking about their weekends, whatever the case may be, not laser focused on the game. Then all of a sudden the other team makes a big play or a series of big plays. Now it's a closer game. A lot of times those same teams, they go into panic mode. They go into the black. They start freaking out. They're trying to recapture it. But now all of a sudden, right, they can't execute like maybe they have for a lot of the games. Cole, any ideas on how coaches can battle that complacency on what do you think?
Yeah, a couple of things on that. You know, one thing you can do is back to embracing your role. You can assign a role to somebody, just like you said earlier, up and down the sidelines. Hey, when we're on a high and everybody's cheering, we got to have somebody to kind of keep everything level. Yeah, we want people to be excited because, you know, that can swing things in our way. But you've got to have someone keeping us grounded too, right? Same thing when things aren't going right. When things are bad and everybody starts getting down, you've got to have that person that can go up and down the sidelines, get with people and bring them back up. I was just watching a clip on leadership, specifically about just that, whether it's corporate, sports, military. You just can't be part of that mob, right? That mob mentality of everybody getting excited. As a leader, you've got to stay calm and bring everybody back down to the normal. Same thing if they're down. We've got to have that leader that cannot get down with them, right? You can't have that mentality. You've got to stay even keeled the whole time. So to answer your question, I think, you know, assign somebody or two or three people a role on the sidelines that can keep everybody even keeled. If you can do it yourself or in your assistants, that's fine too.
Yeah, Cole, I think it's a great idea. And I think it's important to recognize that absolutely will happen. It doesn't matter what your sport is or what your record is. There is going to come times this next season or this season now where things go well. You have a couple great practices in a row. You score a couple touchdowns or goals in a row, right? People are going to get complacent. Again, Marines in a combat zone get complacent. I was guilty of it myself, as I just said, right? The best of us are going to get complacent. That's why it's so important, like Cole, like you said, to have players who are specifically tasked with, yeah, it's coming, right? We've scored, we're up by 14 points now. I see guys starting to talk about their weekends, right? We're starting to lose energy and lose focus. All right, that's why it's having so important to have important people, right? Whether that can be the staff. No, I think a lot of times I think the staff has to be so focused on what's going on in the field and their head spinning that they probably don't have time. So maybe in a football team, a large team, your strength staff or something, but I think more powerful is having players, right? That are give them a role, assign them a role. Don't let the sidelines get complacent. Don't let people just sit down on the bench and, you know, just kind of hang out and be spectators. Sure, if guys have to rest their legs and talk to their coaches and stuff, do that. But, hey, let's fill a role. Let's get on the energy. Let's get on the field. You know, let's get up. Let's share energy with our teammates who are on the field. Let's make sure we take mental reps, right? We're calling out, making the calls we need to do and all those stuffs. We're fulfilling, embracing and attacking our roles. Right, and one of those is to make sure that guys don't get complacent. Cole, anything kind of before we end this? Any final points that you wanted to get across, or anything that you wanted to impart?
Yeah, for the complacency. As coaches, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement, and I think it's important if we're going to be able to stop that complacency, we've got to identify it first. So we have to identify, okay, I'm getting out of hand, or I'm letting it get out of hand. Otherwise, we're not going to do anything about it. So we've got to be cognitive about making sure that we are paying attention to that instead of getting caught up in the emotions.
Cole, what do you think? And do you have any ideas on what are some warning signs that we can see about when people start to get complacent? Let's keep it athletically. Let's say you're on the sideline, you're watching a team on TV. When can you see that complacency? Any hallmark indicators that complacency is starting to creep in?
Well, yeah, body language, watching your people. The more you know your people, the more you know how they react to adversity or great things that happen to them. You just got to keep an eye on your people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think anytime we start, athletes or anyone starts going internal and is focusing more on the things that are outside that control, meaning like we'll see a lot of times we'll see, you know, you might be in the sidelines and it's freezing cold out or it's hot or it's raining or whatever else. Man, when we're in that tight, tied game, yeah, you don't see people huddled by the heaters. You don't see people under the tents because everyone's focused. It's a close game. But man, that same team, when they go up by 14, all of a sudden you do see people, right, clustered around the heaters or getting in the tent to stay dry and all those things. So for me, if I'm on the sideline, that's a good sense. That's a good indicator to me that, all right, we've started to get complacent, right? We've started to lose focus right on the game there, right there in front of us. And not just the starters, that's everyone. Because that against that energy, well, our starters will, they'll start getting complacent too, right? So I do think it's important to recognize those indicators early on. And, you know, we talk to leaders about this all the time. We got to be proactive. Accountability, complacency, it's going to come. It's going to come. I don't care who you are. We've been saying this. It's going to come, right? Recognize it, that moment when, all right, we go on that run, right? Basketball court, we're up by 13. Recognize that, well, guys are going to get complacent. Leaders, don't let them, right? Be proactive. Don't wait. Don't wait for that bad body language, right? Don't wait for people to start clustering by the tents. Well, let's address it, right? Let's make sure we're bringing energy right before that ever happens. I think being proactive, I think it's a good start. So yeah, Cole, thanks so much for this conversation. So the program and this podcast mission is to develop great teammates and leaders to create world-class teams. We hope we have done so. For more in-depth conversations, check out the program podcast and gain unparalleled insight into team cohesion, leadership development, and personal growth with program CEO and founder Eric Kapitulik, as he speaks with corporate leaders, professional athletes, coaches, and authors. Our book, The Program, Lessons with Elite Military Units for Creating and Sustaining High Performance Leaders and Teams, can be found at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. To sign up to receive our monthly letter on leadership or to learn more about the program and our leadership development and team building services for your own team, go to theprogram.org. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at theprogram.org and on LinkedIn at the-program-LLC. Finally, if you have enjoyed today's On the Attack podcast, please leave a review of it on whatever platform you have accessed it from. Thank you and attack.